All right, you want to talk Nakato at 62 points or Dan Hollins at 87 points?
Welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, your premier North American rugby podcast. Growing rugby, one fan at a time.
And welcome, rugby fans. It's that time again with myself, of course, and, well, hold on. Words. put that one out there. It's rather than I get one out the way right from the start. I fumble first, and the rest of the game's going to be fine.
There we
all
go.
Right. All right. And welcome, rugby fans. Again, it's that time for the Run, Pass, or Kick interviews with myself, Ty, the Saffir Braga. Joining me, as per usual, by my side, of course, is Rob, the Hammer Hammerschmidt. But more importantly, as you know, this is the chance where we put somebody in the hot seat, a great Major League Rugby insider. We welcome to join us, James Doc Irie. Thank you for joining us, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Ty. Thanks for having me, boys. We're excited.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. I know that Rob, in particular, anytime somebody joins us from the NOLA Gold on the show, tends to be able to, what's a good phrase? Wet himself quickly. But I mean this in all good jest, because you're you know, and for those who don't already know, I'm sure there's plenty of people that do recognize the name, certainly that stash. But more importantly, your contribution to rugby, let's highlight a few key areas, because you got a rich rugby resume here, Doc. And I'm going to highlight that the story of you starts out in Orlando, Florida, Winter Park High School. You then make your way onto your national service, Marines, Navy. And by the way, I got an interesting question lined up for you later in that regard. Then you had a numerous club appearances from 2013 until making your way to NOLA Gold. And then somehow in your spare time, you managed to be able to coach as well, which, of course, is the Crew Rugby Club that you see my colleague Rob Hammerschmidt sporting the gear there, which recently, by the way, shout out to you in the side, champions, cup champions in the Merkel Cup 2022. So certainly your contribution is being seen on and off the field. And we're going to talk more about that as we go forward. But I wanted the folks to know a little bit about your rich rugby resume and why you are here on the Run, Pass, or Kick interviews. And before we dive any farther, for those of you who might not be familiar with how this works, it's best I hand you over to my colleague Rob to learn how.
Thanks, Ty. And Doc, man, I you know, I'm a huge fan. We've gotten to know each other a little bit better over the last year, just through talking back and forth about life and other things. And you jumping on the Gold Diggers podcast. I love you, brother. And I'm glad to have you here, because you're special in a lot of ways, not just to our country, but my Gold Digger heart. So for those that don't know, the Run, Pass, or Kick interview works like this. We're going to throw some questions at Doc. And each question will be prompted with run, pass, or kick. And Doc has a choice. Just like any good rugby player, he can run with it. And I imagine as a prop, he's going to do a lot of running. Or he can, and that is to say, he can answer the question. He can pass a question. I'm sure he's pretty good at a pass. He might pass a few. Who knows? We'll see. But that just means he's not going to answer it. He's going to move on to the next one. Or he can have a little fun with us. And we know that, you know, in a lot of club trainings, Doc's probably attended a few, that the props like to get in a few kicks here and there. So he may choose to kick a question or two, which is to say that he's going to make us work a little bit, put us on the defensive, let us answer one in his stead, and he can grade us out. He can follow up with a little bit more detail, or he can tell us we're just plain old shite. It's totally up to him. Either way, he gets to control the interview a little bit through his selections of run, pass, or kick. So, James Doc Irie, are you ready to accept the run, pass, or kick challenge?
Born ready. Let's do this.
All right. And as Doc would say, I'm sure he's thinking in his mind, easy day.
That's right.
So, all right. So let's get after it with the first one. I got to know, you're a front rower, long established, big broad shoulders, big giant hulking chest, and we know those legs like tree stumps. But I got to ask you this. Run, pass, or kick. Did any of the officials really know anything about the dark arts of the front row?
Obviously, I'll run with this one to get my chance to.
Notice the smile that came to his face. I was like, ah, yes.
You kind of have to take your shots when you can at the officials, the preseason. Otherwise, they hold it against you for a bit. No, I think it's hard for anybody who's never been in the trenches to know what the trenches are like, right? So there's a lot of stuff that happens up there in the front row. I mean, even guys on my own team, they just kind of watch and wait for the ball to spew out. But they're trying to get better about it. There's some things we like about the new stuff that got implemented, some things we don't like. At the end of the day, it's beat the man in front of you and charge forward with your brothers.
Yeah. Do you want to shed any light on that new stuff? I mean, I'm sure you're getting trickles from the league and from the referees. Is there any insights you want to share, or are we going to let that one go by and pass on it?
No, I mean, it's just simple stuff. Like, they're trying to speed the game up, so they're speeding up resets. They're going to be a little more harsher on, you know, battling on the binds and preloading a little bit of weight forward. And like you said, those little dark arts things. So they showed us some videos, some stuff that they're watching for, some stuff that they have no idea what they're looking for. So you kind of have to use a little bit of IQ, top so 2 inches, as my old coach
would say. The dark arts need to become darker.
Exactly. Right. I'll leave it at that, so don't let any insight in on what's going on. But we're hissing and we're ready to go.
Under the cover of night, props meet and discuss.
But I feel like Bill Murray in Stripes.
There's a whole like episode I feel like on TRN where we could like do this. Yeah. The Docs, brought to you by Doc, you know, and discussing this. You know, you don't reveal too many secrets. We leave it for the airfield. But it is kind of one of the great things about the game is these little intricacies, and each position has something unique to it and some unique challenges. But none more than the front row. I think universally people will accept that. But I want to talk about some other stuff. As you said, brothers, you know, in the trenches. We're going to kind of stick on that theme for a moment, because you, my friend, not only have given tremendous service to the game that we all love, but to the country we love as well. And that, of course, being your service to with the Marines, onto the Navy, and all the honors that come in between. Naval Corpsman, I believe, was your official title. Is that right?
Navy Corpsman, yes, sir.
Corpsman. See, this is why I needed you here. But yes, so what I'm curious is, you know, when you get to be able to have that honor of putting on the Memorial Day jersey and you strut your stuff, you're out in the field. Does this bring on an additional significance to you with your background, knowing what it could mean? What would you say?
Yeah, 100%, man. I think it's something cool that the league's taken part of. And I know there's a couple vets that were in the league. I think I'm probably the only active duty guy in any pro sport right now, but there's a couple vets that are still around. Good old GM Fitzy still around, stuff like that. So for us, Memorial Day is a special day, as it is for everybody in America, but obviously a little closer for us. And something cool we do at NOLA Gold is, with me and Fitzy around, we can kind of shed that light, and the whole team kind of rallies around that shirt, and they don't even show it to us beforehand, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing that I come to love at Rugby Town, where, you know, I have the honor of being able to announce quite a few of the events there, and Rugby Town Sevens, as you know, they have the Armed Forces Challenges there, and they always manage to be able to deliver this kind of awe and presence about it, the gravity that everybody stands, has the respect, the unity in arms. It's one of the great things about being able to blend one's service, as I said, to your nation with that to the sport. It's a perfect marrying of those two things, because there's so many great, powerful areas that overlap in terms of the values between the sport and, of course, what you do for your country.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. The Rugby Town Seven thing's next level with the Armed Forces Championship.
Right.
Been on that team playing sevens for some reason for a few years now. But
Put a prop on a sevens team. It'll work.
What could go wrong?
Chaos, that's for sure. Now, with the Fallen Rugger ceremony there, it's super cool. And then there's been dozens and dozens. I mean, pretty much on every club across the country, especially the ones near the bases.
Right.
There's military guys on every team. I mean, the team that I started with up in Norfolk, Virginia, the Norfolk Blues, we were at least half active duty military guys. So there's awesome, so much of that in our culture that we can't help but spread it.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the ethos. And that's the foundation for the next question. You know, GM Ryan Fitzgerald, you mentioned it. He's a Marine himself, having served our country honorably, just as you have. You, of course, as a naval corpsman, have served with Marines. For those that don't know, corpsmen are members of the Navy, but they serve as medics, you know, in the field for our Marines and our boys that are first in and last out, right? If you haven't checked out some of the Band of Brothers and some of the other We Were Soldiers Once, great book about a naval corpsman. That's a foundation of the book. Check it out if you're into history. But the question, Run, Pass, or Kick, Doc, you have served with the Marines as a naval corpsman, thus both you and Fitzy know about sacrifice and brotherhood. How would you, or how do you apply your military experience and background to your game of rugby?
Yeah, I had this saying when I was coaching both the New Orleans Rugby Football Club and the crew that rugby is the closest thing you can get to a gunfight without actually being in one. So it kind of draws
us to
it.
I like that. I think that needs to be the quote from this whole episode. I like that.
Yeah, so it draws us to it just for the action and the violence and the technicalness, and then obviously needing to be, you know, you don't win a gunfight by yourself. You don't win a rugby game by yourself either. So I think going in with that mindset that gets instilled in us through basic training and all the schools we go to and then countless deployments, and, you know, you really form a family knit of people. It's the same thing in the rugby team. If you don't have that, right, if you don't have the camaraderie in the locker room, you could have the best players in the world. You're going to go out there and take an L every Saturday. So, again, me and Ryan have a really close relationship at this point. Being a Marine and a corpsman, we're pretty much inseparable at this point, except when he's got to go pick up more crayons to eat. But, other than that, so it's cool. You still tell the boys little war stories, and we jazz them up, and we use the little sayings and stuff. But a lot of it's just being there and being present. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm 35. I'm definitely not a spring chicken. These guys see me in the gym every morning. They see me running. They see me hitting. They see me do all this stuff. Same thing. Ryan's out there running fitness drills with the boys, and he's a GM on the team. He'll come out and play, you know, fitness games with us, and just all kinds of madness. So it's just little stuff like that. You know, when the boys call your phone, you answer the phone. It doesn't matter what time it is, what you're doing.
Leading from the front, right? You know, you got to be up there.
That's what a case of Mountain Dew will do for you. And I know some of the boys have gotten that, you know, gone home in that machine or on their voicemail and like gone, all right, let's play this. And it's Fitz, and there's Fitz. I scream in there like a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
You know, I like that saying that you said a moment ago. I'm going to throw in an improvised question here, and it's kind of on the topic of it being a contact sport, the camaraderie, the battle, you know, all of those things, those themes that you include in your last response. So recently you probably heard that the RFU decided at the community level game that they were going to remove tackling above the waist. And this meant that it, in essence, has changed the entire game from a contact sport to, you know, avoiding contact, really. I don't know how better to describe it. Run, pass, or kick. Do you think this is the death of rugby if that was to be true?
Obviously, I'm going to run with this one, being that I love violence. Yeah, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. There's no reason our sport needs to go to touch. If you want to go play touch, go play touch. We're here to play rugby, and rugby involves tackling. Rugby involves contact. I think you're going to see a lot of things change with the game for the worse. I think you're going to lose interest, because part of why Americans especially love this sport, or starting to love this sport, is because we are physical, because it gives you an opportunity. That's the whole reason I started playing. It gives you that opportunity to express yourself somewhere where you don't get in trouble for hitting another guy, and you can go grab a beer afterwards. Now you're going to have guys diving at knees and ankles and all kinds of – it just sounds like a recipe for disaster for me.
I think that, you know, there's – sure, maybe it reduces – that's unproven, but maybe it reduces the risk of concussion. How many other injuries are going to be ending careers, though? You know?
You got to work on a Monday, you go tear your ACL on a Saturday because some jerk dove you right at the knee. Like, how do you think that's going to go? I'll go to work with a black eye any day of the week.
You wear that as a badge of honor, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think they're trying to kinder, gentler, whatever they're trying to do. It's not going to work. And it's kind of upsetting, to be honest with you.
Well, I think you and many fans of the game feel that same sentiment, you know. You know, it is, to quote somebody else before me, this isn't soccer.
Just want to add on, I mean, the thing that, you know, and some of the you know, Facebook forums, and reading up on this, and folks from England are you know, weighing in. And as somebody put it this way, they said, look, you know, at the club level, people make the choice to play rugby, right? And they make the mm-hmm. choice to engage in a kind of contact physical nature of the game. And at some point, you gotta police yourself, right? You got to be responsible for yourself. If you've taken a head knock or two, you got to keep yourself out of the game. You got to be honest with yourself, honest with the trainers, and you've got to decide what's the best way forward for you. If you've taken a few head knocks and you decide that you can't play, then go into coaching, go into admin, help rugby in some other way. I mean, a friend of mine had to make that very tough decision, and we all understand. You know, as fellow rugby players, we get it when that happens, that you know, maybe it is time to hang it up if it happens one too often, but you can still provide service to the sport and be supportive in another way through, you know, all those other exercises, coaching, administration, you know, officiating, things like that. And I just think it is, I agree with you, Doc, we're going in the wrong way in that one.
Well, hopefully that doesn't spread across the unions, right? But we could probably debate that one in an entirely new episode. So it set us up quite well for that one.
Yeah,
we might have to call you back for your piece on that one, Doc. Because I feel like you and many.
You'd be a ranter on that one.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I mean. Like, yeah, he had conviction in what he was saying. Oh, that's terrible. You know, and I think that's important that we get opinions like yours who are playing the game, you know, at the highest level right. available to us here in the US, but having gone through every step of the process as well, you know, because it's everything that's affected by it. But, you know, I digress, and let's get back to you and your rugby career. And I'm going to go rewind just a moment. You spoke about the relationship between you and Fitzgerald and how tight it has become, and for obvious reasons. So with this lies my next question. Run, pass, or kick? During the fall, you both played significant minutes in what has become known as the America's Rugby Premiership with the gold, and coached Crewe Rugby Club in addition to that, to winning the championship, the aforementioned championship. Rob, is there a question in there?
Yeah, there was supposed to be.
I'm like, well, that's really well set up, Rob. I'm reading the questions. somehow 50% of this was missing.
I was trying to see how well Ty could improv, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to kick that one over to Rob.
I'll actually kick it back to you with a question. How about this? Here's the question. What are our thoughts as players that played in the ARP and the future of the ARP going forward for the league? And I'll kick this to Ty.
Okay. Well, first of all,
again, we're going to test Ty's ability to improv.
Clearly, I'm not a fullback. Okay.
Don't knock it on, my man. Don't knock it on.
Yeah, no, it's under pressure. It's up in the air.
Especially a kick from a prop.
It's going to be a wobbly, ugly kick too. It's going to have 17 bounces.
As long as it gets the job done.
Yeah. Okay. So repeat. What is repeated for me?
Yeah. So what are the players' thoughts that played in the ARP this season?
Oh, okay.
How do we feel about the ARP model going forward?
I mean, it basically comes down to this. More rugby is better rugby, because to become better, you got to be able to play as often as possible. But the other component of that is at a competitive level. And the more competitive rugby you can play, the better you'll become. Iron sharpens iron. America's rugby edition of this premiership has taken the opportunity for players who might not necessarily have gotten all the game time that they wanted and given them a platform to be able to shine. Younger and players can be nurtured by older players, and the mix in between is what's going to be great. Now, as a coaching platform, it's brilliant to be able to try out combinations you've not been able to see in real action. You have the ability to test the depth of your bench. You give players an opportunity. So there's many benefits, but ultimately, I would imagine we'd want it to be able to stay, especially because it doesn't conflict with any other season, you know. So I don't see it having a downside to continue, and I just want to be able to see more of it and it expand to include other teams and from across the league with all the academies.
I'm going to add on to that, Doc, if I could, for just a moment. I would say there's two other benefits that I'm not disparaging Ty at all here. He made some excellent points, which I think are all true. But I think we saw some benefits, particularly this fall, in that you look at a guy like Moni Tongaia. Now, while he did not play huge amount of minutes in the ARP, the fact that he had some qualifiers coming up, gave him an opportunity to kind of get back into the thick of things, get his body tuned up a little bit and get ready to go into camp. So he was not going in absolutely totally stone cold. And then I think for guys that are rookies or guys that are just trying to make their way onto rosters and kind of prove themselves, you know, so we're talking about the Villanis of the world, the Onlys of the world, you know, guys like, Sam Klimkowski, who's just brought into the roster. And then you got other individuals. They got to cut their teeth a little bit. Junior Tungawea, being brought into that and getting significant minutes and playing, you know, being very much a bedrock of the ARP effort by Nola. Those guys got invaluable experience and minutes to play with some other guys like Devin Short, like yourself, guys like Dino, who are, you know, stalwarts on the Nola Gold. So again, that piece goes back in a circular fashion to what Ty pointed out about that chemistry and kind of bringing about a little bit more of a synergy between the players getting ready for the spring.
No, I think you boys crushed it. I will call that one a 50-22. How's that? So, it was a lot of work. It took a lot of work on a lot of teams, a lot of travel, a lot of things. And I think we're only going to get better with the infrastructure side of it and the logistics. But the culture down here was amazing with the young boys. Some of them got to stay. Some of them got to look somewhere else. Some of them had to go back to their 9-to-5. But no, it was an incredible experience. And I think going forward, it's got to be something the league looks at very heavily.
Well, if you could, I mean, it's clearly proven that it can work. You just needed to be able to create an environment where everybody could see it work. And I don't see there really being stumbling blocks apart from the travel and the costs of the usual stuff that happens, right? I mean, that's just, when it comes down to numbers, that's usually what it boils down to. As long as you can justify that they take a closer look at it, you've done your job and prove the concept. So hopefully it does certainly end up being a regular fixture, because it is only upside to it. I personally do not see any downside, but I'm not in those camps looking at numbers and looking at all the details, right?
I'm going to add one piece of perhaps, and I apologize, but for fans, I think who don't know all the nuances of the America, you know, the America's Rugby Premiership, you know, a guy like Reese Botha down in NOLA, you know, he was brought in, played at LU a little bit. He's brought in, and then he got, a huge amount of minutes at fly half and the incredible opportunity to develop. And he showed out, he got signed, and now he's, he's with the team, full stop. You know, again, a kid that was played a little in college, but didn't see that the draft, so to speak, in the typical way, you know, that leaves an opportunity for just another pathway into.
Yeah. It's another stage for them to perform on.
Yeah.
And just to pad old Fitzy again and Nola Gold down here, Reese Botha's locker sits right next to Rodney Iola right now. So he's literally left seat, right seat with the legend of the game. And you can't pay for that kind of experience the kid's getting right now. It's drinking through a hot fire hose right now. He's struggling a bit, but he's going
to
get there.
Best way to learn, man. Well, on that note, again, we are here with James Doc Irie, a great stalwart for rugby, in particular Nolan Gold. But we're going to be back with him in just a few moments. But before then, we're going to take a short break to be able to learn a little bit more about one of the partners that help us do what we do here on the Rugby Rant Podcast Show. Stick around.
When you pick up a ball, you also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. And built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work and discipline. And to those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. There will be days when you feel like you want to quit. When you're in the cold, in the rain, and in the mud, on those days, we will be there when you need it most.
Welcome back, Rugby Rant fans. And again, this is the Run, Pass, or Kick episode with, of course, James Doc Irie from the Nola Gold. And we're jumping right into the quick tap with Doc. And so we've got some great ones here. And because I know a little bit more than the usual about my good friend Doc, I got some good ones tuned up for him. And I'm interested to see how he responds. So it works a little like this. We're going to fire this or that, one choice or the other. Doc can just identify which choice he's going to make. And again, he can go ahead and give a little context. He can leave it where it stands. One thing he can't do is he can't pass or he can't kick. He's got to run with all of them. So we're going to get in with the quick tap, excuse me. And the first one, Doc, you know, again, we talked about your playing right now as an active member of the NOLA Golden. Of course, you coached Markell Champ crew, okay, down there in New Orleans. So more fun coaching or playing?
Playing.
All right. That's what we like to hear going into the season as a
anybody who's season. Played and then coached will agree with me on that one. Yeah. Playing all day.
Let's ask you in 5 years.
There you go. All right. I know, you know, you came from the gym right before this interview, so I'd been remiss if I didn't ask this question. Favorite lift, squats or power cleans?
Squats.
Okay. That's what we'd expect from a front rower. Got to generate that effort going into the scrum, right? All right, next one. Bayou comfort food, and I know it's, you know, dead of winter down there, and you know, down there it's like a freaking beach summer day for me up here in Chicago. But nevertheless, we know how you New Orleanians get cold down there pretty easily. Gumbo comfort food, gumbo or shrimp po' boy?
Gumbo specifically. Not trying to keep my job or anything, but Tim Falcon, the owner of this club, makes a fantastic Christmas gumbo that I got to have some of this year. So I might just stay in this town just for that.
I like All it. Right, Tim, if you're watching it or listening, free some of that Christmas gumbo for this guy, because I'll be down there April 2nd for NOLA Gold versus Seattle. I got to take some of that gumbo, bring it to the pitch. I'm on it. All right, here we go. I'll hold him to that too, by the way. All right. It is Doc's day out. Hunting or fishing?
Hunting.
Ooh, I like it. Nice. All right. Rifle or bow?
Bow all day.
Oh, an artisan of his craft.
We'll show off there.
Oh, there it is, right there. Okay. Question answered very quickly. All right. More like a son, Matt Harmon or Brian Nolte?
A son, definitely Brian Nolte.
All right. He's an interesting dude from what I understand. All right.
Sure.
All right. Fishing tournament partner. Ooh. Right. Fishing tournament partner. Dino or Cam?
Cam Dolan all day. Me and him ripped so many lips at this point, it's outrageous.
Dude, that homie was over the after he came back from USA service, man. He went out fishing. And he caught the biggest damn fish I've ever seen in my life. I was like, dude shows out all the time on the pitch.
Yeah, I was there. It was outrageous. You had no business catching that fish on a spinning rod. It was stupid. Amazing. Like,
really? Yeah. What was it?
It was a black drum he pulled out of the bayou over here. It was like 40 pounds. It was outrageous.
Jesus. Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope you take some credit for that 40 pounder you guys pulled in. All right.
As many trips as he's brought me on, he can have all the credit he wants.
So. All right. All right. Last one. Tougher rugger, Marines or Navy?
Ooh, well, I'm going to go split. I'm going to go give sevens nod to my Navy brethren that we play with since we've been beating the crap out of the Marines for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now at rugby town. But I did have the pleasure to play Marine Corps 15, so I got to give those boys a shout out. We went up to Utah last fall. They had a game I couldn't make this year in San Diego, and they've been putting in some licks at 15. So, Mo, anytime you need me for the Marine Corps shirt, you let me know.
Well, listen, Ty, can you believe this guy? Here he is, you know, a man of military service. Usually those guys are just like a buzzsaw, man. They get right after it, pull no punches. That was the most political
I love how
serviceman's answer I've ever heard.
Shed a little bit of love all around.
That's right. I mean – well done,
actually,
mate. Well done.
I seriously thought that you were going to squirm a little bit more on that one. That's the one extra that I typed in.
Bat a damn eye. The dude just ripped it through it and answered it. Made everybody
key decision maker. I like it. I like it. You got away. I got to work on them for next time. My mission is to get at least one pass, but you couldn't do it there. But I wanted to see you sweat a little. You didn't even sweat at all. So, again, a pleasure to be able to have you run through the quick tap there. We're going to take the opportunity now to turn our attention back to the regular format of the run, pass, or kick interviews.
Ty, he sweats more when he eats Tim's Christmas gumbo than he did with that question.
Well, I'm probably seven bowls of gumbo will do that to you.
Oh, shit. Watch out. yeah. So
I have a feeling I should have eaten some of that before I had my colonoscopy recently.
Oh, how the show has changed over the years.
I told you it would be spicy, man. That's why I brought this man on.
All right, gentlemen, let's turn our attention back to the rugby for a moment. Run, pass, or kick. Right. You know how it goes, Doc. I'll line up the next question for you. Fitz and head coach Kane Thompson brought in two props from New Zealand, Sean Perenahi and Gerald Adams. With a young group of American props, how important is it to bring guys with their type of experience to draw from?
I think this is exactly why the league has foreigner spots, to be honest with you. We're still waiting on Shawnee's visa to come in and stuff like that. But
right.
Jared just came into the locker room, plugged in with the boys. Everyone's read his CV at this point. It's amazing. So just his little inputs, you know, I'm scrumming against this guy I came up through American club scene. He's super rugby, this, that, and the other.
Right.
He makes
right.
a little tweak here, a little tweak there. You put it in your pocket. Next session, you're beating him. Next session, he's beating you. And we're constantly pushing each other. We've been fortunate in all the goal that we've always had a front row that pushes each other,
sure.
which is probably a credit to, you know, having one of the most dominant scrums in the league. But I think bringing in stuff like that can only help the cause of American props specifically. And then, of course, you know, no,
which is actually in pretty short supply if you think about it, right? And I love the fact that you highlighted that this is one of the reasons why the foreign player slot exists, as long as teams use it in the way that we want it to be. Right. And that's coming from a guy, obviously I'm not born in the US, but you know, the US rugby has become such a, you didn't notice from the accent, by the way, I still go home and my mom hates this thing that I've arrived with, this accent, but you know, I bring it up because I'm invested in US rugby now, and you know, it's my home and I've made this my home, and rugby has a lot to be able to give. And with all that being said, I take it with a pinch of salt when you hear about this player coming in from here and this player coming in from here, because my eventual hope is that if I wanted to watch an international league, I could choose dozens for that. But if I wanted to be able to invest in a domestic league that truly will become an international standard, I need to see more guys like you, right? And no offense, younger guys like you.
Please, yes, younger. Absolutely younger, yeah.
Yeah, but you get my point. So it's nice to be able to hear somebody from a perspective who's come through the ranks, through the U.S. service, you know, and all the honors that come playing professionally with rugby, say, this is a good thing, provided it's done this way.
Correct. And with the right personnel.
I mean, right.
You know, Fitzy's always done a good job of bringing us the boys, and the last thing you want is some prima donna from across the pond that comes in and thinks they're better than the team. We haven't had that down at NOLA. I can't speak for the other clubs.
Well, NOLA's got a pretty good tradition of being able to work with domestic players already, and when they do bring somebody in, like look at Thompson, right? Playing, coaching, you know, there's a history of investing in the club and the community that when they bring the right people in. And I imagine those conversations I had beforehand, that's because, you know, the team, the whole crew there are setting expectations up very well.
You said
absolutely.
Oh yeah. Word of the day, crew. I like it. I worked it in. Bonus just point. Ding ding, ring the Dan bell.
crew.
Yeah.
And I just want to add on that what I love about the mix is that they're bringing in these guys, but the reason that Fitz and Kane are bringing them in is because they know they've got a great bunch of American props and some young American props in there too. So they're guys like Doc and of course the foreign players who bring in a wealth of experience and can provide a platform for those boys to develop and grow and mature. Because we all know that you need a good tight head, and to have an American tight head is kind of like a good American tight head, a young one, particularly is a like a unicorn, right? You get them and you don't let them get away. So I'm going to get into the last one we talked a little bit about before, but Doc, let me ask you this. Run, pass, or kick. How important was it to have the team compete collectively as a team in the ARP?
Yeah, I'm a run for this since I've been fighting for something like this since they literally called me up in 2019. I think if you want to develop players and you want to get them ready for the league, you have to have some kind of, you know, competition just underneath. You know, I came straight from a men's club background. I played select sides and this, that, and the other. And when I tell you those first couple of weeks of the training camp were rough, that's an understatement. It's just another level. And then even the fall level, all the new guys we kept out from the ARP now, we tried to tell them when we were in ARP, they thought they were good. You know, they made it. They've been struggling more than most the last couple of weeks, and it's been funny to watch them squirm for a bit. No, but I think long term, whether it's a league-wide thing, whether it's a regional thing, it doesn't matter. You have to have something, not just for the player's perspective, but you know, if I'm looking at long-term maybe job in the future, if I want to look at players before I give them a check, it's a great opportunity to put you in a high-impact environment, high stress. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see you in a professional environment. Like, yeah, we're not paying you. Yeah, you're here to play rugby, but we're still in the training sessions several times a week. You're expected to watch film. You're expected to do all the extra stuff that you're not expected to do at the collegiate and the club level. So you kind of get an idea of how this person's going to be his first year or two in the league,
right?
Which may prevent issues later on down the road.
And I'd like to also add in, I mean, how great was it to have Taylor Howden, you know, commanding the boys, you know, because Kane was visiting, you know, New Zealand, visiting his family for the first time in 2 years, given COVID, going in there looking for guys to bring back, you know, using up those foreign player spots. And Taylor's right there as his right-hand man to, you know, head up that ARP effort.
I've been so fortunate in my career to have some amazing coaches, and it hasn't stopped yet. Taylor and Kane. I mean, man, it's interesting to see every year. You think, okay, this is what they got. This is what they're bringing to the table. And then they double down the next season. We're all excited for this year, especially, but those two boys are going to be something special.
Awesome. I'd like to also add just for a moment though, I've noticed, Rob, that question was the question I was looking for earlier. That was the second half of it, right?
You're probably right. Listen, in all honesty, I think when I made these questions up a couple of weeks ago, I was drinking then, and I've gone to dry
what
January.
Rugby player drinks while they do it.
Dry January now, so I'm now clear headed, and I clearly see the error in my ways. My apologies, my good man.
No, it's all good. It's all good, man. I like it. It provides a good, great comedy in between. And, you know, most of what we do here is just to make sure that everybody's having a good time. You know, Rob and I always say this at the end, but we'll say it so everybody else can hear it. And perhaps you may feel this if you're seated at home, driving to work, wherever it may be. If you can end this chat, turn it off. You sit down, you feel like you just had a chat with a couple of mates about rugby and the good banter in between, then we've achieved what we wanted to do. 100%. Because that's one of the great things about rugby is the conversations and the relationships between. And, you know, whether it's in the post-game social or out in the stands, you know, one of the things we continue to be able to promote here is that, you know, Run, Pass, or Kick is not only a chance for fans to get to know rugby insiders like yourself, Doc, a little bit more and get their thoughts on things, but it's also an opportunity to be able to feel connected as a fan. The stuff in between, it's all just good jest, but, you know, it's all in the good interest of the game as well. Let's dive into that, though, and in the interest of the game. NOLA themselves, and this is an observation as much as it is for Rob and everybody else, I'm setting this one up correctly, right? So NOLA has come so close, but yet so far, you're smiling, right? On numerous occasions, oh, but if we get points here and they lose by this, and then there's this, and then there's this. All right, I'm just going to sum it up, man. Is this a year we're going to see them in the playoffs?
Listen, ever since I was a kid, I was always raised and doubled down in the military that we don't make excuses. So I'm not going to make any excuses. We failed to execute. We didn't go where we wanted to go. If I had to go to a gunfight tomorrow, half the boys in the locker room are coming with me. Be ready, putting the league on notice. We're coming in hot, and we're going for the shield.
Love it. Easy to understand. Easy direction. <I'm Yeah. happy. laughs> Love it.
I'm excited. And I'm doubly excited because not only am I making the trip down to the Bayou, but they're coming up here to my homestead. I get to see them here in Chicago, and I'm super pumped about that.
Yeah, and he's still going to be sporting his NOLA gear, of course. So, you know, there's definitely good, strong love for what you boys are doing. Listen,
Doc, do me a favor. If you can find somebody that's supporting you that can bring up a big Doc Fathead, right? You know, put on a stick, right? Give me one of those bad boys. I'm gonna march around with it. So I promise you that. All right. And by the way, I'm sitting with the Gold Diggers. All right. They're getting my ticket. So I'm gonna be stuck in with all the boys from the Bayou and making noise on behalf of the Noel Gold. That is for damn sure. All right. Before I get to the last question here, Doc, reminder. you know, you're going to have, as customary with all our guests, a couple minutes there at the end to have your piece, to maybe give a shout out, to give a hey to somebody, or even plug your favorite charity. So, you know, I know you have something in mind because you do a lot of good and wonderful charitable work down there in New Orleans. So, you know, right after this question, we'll give you an opportunity to have the floor. But before that, I'm going to put you on the spot with this one. Of course, we know you can always, you know, pass or kick this one. I'm interested to see what you do with this last question. You know, with the Gold Diggers, we kind of have a little pool going, and I need some inside information. Okay, so run, pass, or kick. Who is your pick for Rookie of the Year?
Oh, from the Gold Boys, Rookie of the Year.
From the Gold
Boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, since I played with pretty much all of them in the ARP season, and I basically had to be team dad for a while, I'm actually going to pass on this one because I don't think you're supposed to pick your favorite kid.
Okay. So... you love them all just differently. I know that. I know that.
And it's kind of the opposite. I'm the negative reinforcement guy, so right now none of them are good enough to be Rookie of the Year, so let's see one of them earn it.
They got to earn. They got to earn their stripes. Yeah. I gotcha. I like
he that. Doesn't give his love to just one guy. He gives it to
well, nine. If we go on our last Rookie of the Year, I mean, good luck keeping up with that boy. So let's see what happens.
All right.
That's funny. I like that, though. But again, we always said we try to get at least one pass, and it came on the final question. We delivered on what our promise was, and you, my friend, have delivered on your promise to be a great guest here with us on the Run, Pass, or Kick interviews. And as Rob mentioned a moment ago, we'd like to, as a bit of a tradition, with each guest that we have, offer the floor to them for a few moments to send a shout-out to anybody important. Perhaps you have a charity or a special cause you'd like to draw attention to. The floor is yours.
I appreciate it, fellas. This is a blast. Anytime you need me, Rob, you give me a holler and I'm on. But first and foremost, home opener February 17th. It's big Mardi Gras weekend for us. You ain't got plans around America. Come have a party down here in the Bayou. We're having half price beers, cheap tickets. It's going to be a blast. The old boys put on a spread. Be ready when you come down here. Secondly, I want to plug the NOLA Gold Foundation. I've been a pleasure to work with them for the last couple of years, growing youth rugby, growing men's club rugby throughout the city. I coach two of the teams. On that, I want to make a call to action on the rest of the players of this league. If you're not doing something to develop local rugby around your team, you're not doing enough. I do the same thing you do, and I do a little extra work for Uncle Sam, and I still find some time to give back to the boys. So you're up. But no, this is great. We love these kind of things. We love the fans. If you haven't been to a game in NOLA, we probably love our fans better than most people. Party shack afterwards, sport the party shirt. We're looking forward to the season, and thanks again, boys. This is fun.
Listen, Doc just drew swords for two groups in the last 2 minutes, the rookies and the other players in the league, basically through a challenge. If they're not doing what they should be doing, he's calling them out. Rooks, show out, and players in the league, give back to the game that's given so much to you and help grow it along with the rugby rant, because you know that we – want to grow rugby one fan at a time. I stole your thunder, Ty.
You just made my job redundant in one line. Well, the sentiments remain true. So again, thank you for so elegantly taking us out, Rob, and taking my job with it. Again,
you just ran a good support line. That's all.
Off the shoulder.
Yeah. So no, all jokes aside, it has been an absolute pleasure. And we want to remind all of our fans at home tuning in that we welcome you to be able to tell us what you think about our show, what you think about this interview, or what question you think we should have asked Doc, and maybe we'll get him back on another occasion. And you could do so by following us under the handle at Rugby Rant Pod on all of our social media, in addition to being able to find us on TRN, the Rugby Network, each and every week with a new episode, that, of course, being our familiar format of the Rugby Rant Debates. And you must, of course, tune in to check out our next one when we'll be talking about the hot topic of the new recent rebranding for Rugby ATL. Check us out on TRN and on social media under the handle at Rugby Rant Pod. Before we head out again, one final thank you to our guests. We have been spending this time with James Doc Irie, of course, of NOLA Gold and Crew Rugby. Doc, an absolute pleasure. We'll catch you at the next one.
Alright, you want to talk Nakatoa at 62 points or Dan Hollins at 87 points?
Welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, your premier North American rugby podcast. Growing rugby, one fan at a time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.